Okay, Genesis 1, we're going to look at verse 26 and 27. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creepy thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, in his own image, and in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And if you would pray with me. Heavenly Father, we do thank you. And Lord, as we look at the word image through time, I pray, Father, that we would come to understand about the image, Lord, that we are to present now, being born again Christians. So bless us now as we take a little time to study your word, and strengthen us and edify us today. Amen. It's an interesting concept. Now, many of you know, because I just mentioned it in Sunday school, if you were here, is that a lot of times when the word man is used, it's not speaking of one bearded as a man. It's speaking of mankind, or the Greek word is anthropos, if that's pronounced right. But it means, man-faced, okay? And it's an interesting thing, because we get to this creation order. But I'd like to just make mention again, if you caught it, I hope that you caught it, in verse 27. So God created man, okay, in his own image. Excuse me. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Okay? And it gets into the creation order and all of this. But we were created in the image of God. Now, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Really, when you think about it. But it makes a lot of sense, because when you're created in the image of God, is there any nursery workers downstairs? Do we need a nursery worker downstairs? Yes. Who's supposed to be in the nursery today? Do we know?
Trinidad.
What?
Somebody that's in Trinidad.
Oh, they're in Trinidad? Okay. Well, we need someone, please, to volunteer and go down and do that. I saw the little ones and I said, something's not quite right here. Okay. Now that's your sister, isn't it? Yeah, I thought I recognized her, but I didn't. It's been, I don't know how many years. It's probably been 15 years since, it maybe even longer than that. When did the last time we see her? Long time ago. What? Yeah. Anyways, at least I think so. So in the image of God, we were created in the image of God. Pretty good deal. As a matter of fact, it was such a close relationship that Adam could walk in the cool of the day and have an open conversation with the Lord. I mean, think about that he walked with him, and there was this relationship that was so, that we're actually seeking after today and really desiring that one day we will have. And he did that. So man was originally in the image of God, created he them, male and female, created he them. Okay? So don't know that I'm not just talking about men here as man, bearded, but also male and female. Okay? So you were created in the image of God. And we in his likeness, right? It says in his likeness and all of that. I really find that fascinating, but we'll do. Now go to Genesis chapter 5. We know this portion of the book, but this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Right? Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called his name, or what? Their name. Okay, that's a proper word there. Their name, Adam. Which means red, by the way, and other things. But in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, whole bunches of them, really. And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Now, did you notice there's a difference there? Okay. At the beginning, God had created men and women, and he created them in his image, in his likeness. We're at Genesis chapter 5. Adam has children, right? And his name is Seth, and he had him after his own image. What happened? There's something went wrong here. Because really, did you know that the Lord, when you study this out, he told them to procreate and before, and he wanted to see the earth full of people in his image. But he didn't get that, did he? What happened? You're supposed to answer. That's not a rhetorical question. I want an answer, right? Sin happened, that's right. There was sin that happened. And the sin happened, and then all of a sudden, instead of being in the image of God, we now are in the image of Adam, and Adam had children and children, and you know, it really exploded. There was a population explosion, right? And it really happened. Now that's an interesting thing, because that isn't what God proposed to begin with. He wanted this relationship, and now we were all born after the image of Adam. We like to refer to it and say, we always like to go, well, we're born and created in the image of God, right? You know, we like that. I think it lifts us up a little bit, you know. And I believe there's some remnants of it there. But truly, we are after Adam's image. And Adam sinned. And that's why the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then there's something that happened. We, like he, the first Adam, were born with a sin nature. And actually Adam wasn't born with a sin nature, he sinned. But we afterwards, we have the sin nature, and then the Lord came and he sought us and bought us and redeemed us, and we were what is called born again. Now this is really an interesting concept. We still have the old flesh of Adam, but inside of us, with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, we have the new man or the new creature. I was going to say, you don't know it, but you're schizophrenic. You have a split personality, friend. And if you're born again, you've got the old nature and the new nature. And if you don't realize that, there's a battle going on. And if you go to a shrink, right, he'll say, man, you got dual personalities here, something going on. And in reality, it's true. We have the old nature, which was inherited by Adam in his image, and now we've been quickened by the Spirit of God. After salvation, though, there is this process that's supposed to be happening. God is not satisfied with that situation. He actually wants us now to be transformed into the image of Christ. So there's your three images that we're going to talk about. We got God's image, which was at the beginning after sin. Then we had the image of Adam. And listen, how long did it take to have the world fall apart with people after the image of Adam? I have to tell you, it wasn't that long before there was a lot of water going on. It really didn't take that long. As a matter of fact, people multiplied and everything, and it didn't even seem... There was this gap that that they never even called on the name of the Lord. And it specifically says that at birth, that's when man started to call on the name of the Lord. That's how quickly the sin nature had an effect. To the point that what? That God saw that the thoughts of man's heart was continually evil. Can you imagine? So we're saved, and then we get saved and we get quickened. We got that old nature. We've accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. That is a covenant between God and us, and He says He will give you not only eternal life, but He will give you a new nature. We've been quickened. We've been born again. And then if we go to Romans 8:29, go there, please. I'll show you the references. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow. Now, if you wanted to know this, that God knew before the creation of the world that you were going to be saved. It wasn't a surprise to God. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. That means to predetermine, this is what I want to happen, to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So it tells us here that we are to be conformed into the image of Christ. Now, to be conformed is, you know how, well, I'll give you a good example. Alan and I were replacing the door there, the jamb and stuff on that. Not the jamb, the other side, the mounting side. And we had cut the board just a little bit too long. So we had to conform that piece of timber to the right size. So we took our saw and cut off an eighth of an inch. Then when we put it in there, we got a hammer and just whipped on it. And just forced that right into that old mounting and everything. Nice tight fit, really. But it took some hammering. It took some pressing against a mold to conform us, or to conform that piece of timber to the, what we wanted. Well, that's what conform means, that you be conformed, that you're pressed into a likeness, that you're transformed, okay? And it is a process that we do. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, now, I haven't come to the point yet. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image of glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. That's the power of transformation. Christ, I think you understand in your New Testament, is the image of God. Now, you got that? Everybody got that? That Christ is the image of God? If you've seen Him, you've seen the Father, right? That's what we're talking about here. If you want to look that up, it's in 2 Corinthians 4:4, Colossians 1:15, same book, 3:10, and then Hebrews 1:3. So look those up, please, and right now we won't do that. But we are to be transformed by the power of God into the image of Jesus Christ, who is the image of God. So you see the process, what He's saying? He had us in the image of God. We fell from that image. Now there is this way to be transformed back into the image of God. And that's what He wants for us. Eventually, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. He has predetermined this is going to happen. But you are going to be transformed. You say, well, I don't feel very transformed today. Well, He's still working on you, right? There's a song like that. And He wants to see you. And the Spirit of God will not rest until it is accomplished. So it's not like you can run away from God. Don't do the, you know, swallowed by a whale thing. Don't run from God. It is going to happen. He is not going to give up on you because you are His. You've been bought with a price. So now I'm almost getting to the point. I just had to lay that foundation. So you got the images, right? Image of God, image of Adam, sin nature. We've been quickened, born again to be transformed into the image of Christ, who is the image of God. Okay? That's the plan. It is not my plan. It is the Lord's plan. If it was my plan, I'll tell you what I would have done. Okay? This being dual-natured here, sin nature of the old man and the new man, I would have skipped that. Okay? I would have just said, okay, Lord, if I'm right in the Bible, you get saved, you're gonzo. You're gone, you're in heaven. All right, everything's great, right? But that isn't the Lord's plan. He wants us on this earth, and we have a purpose, don't we? We have a purpose on this earth. And I'm not into the purpose-driven book at all, because its purpose is perverted. But I do want to tell you that he has a purpose for us on this earth, not only to be transformed into Christ's likeness, but to be his emissaries and his messengers on this earth. He has not left it to angels to preach the gospel and to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He has left it to us. I've always wondered in Revelation. I think about that time a little bit, and when the angel having the everlasting gospel, and I always asked, you know, it's one of those things I said, well, what happened to the people? Aren't they supposed to be preaching it? Why is an angel coming to preach the gospel? I don't know. I guess I'll find out. And so we are to be transformed into this image. Now we're going to get you to the word example, example, ensample, en sample, and pattern. Okay? Those are three different words. Actually, the word ensample and pattern are the same word. Okay? So they mean exactly the same. So Jesus, what did he do in John chapter 13? Go there. You know the portion of Scripture, by the way. It might just not pop out at you, but you know this. In verses 1 through 17, he does, at the feast of the Passover, the supper being ended, that's verse 2, he riseth up from supper, and what did he do to the apostles? What did he do for the apostles? He washed their feet, right? He washed their feet. And he, what was that? He was giving them an example, okay? And he goes here and he explains that. And he says here, so after he had washed their feet, this is verse 12, he had taken his garments and was set down again. And he said, know ye what I have done to you? Yea, ye call me Master and Lord, and say well, for so I am. If I then, your Master, Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you a what? Example. Well, this isn't the only time that Christ gave him an example. He gave him an example of how to heal. He gave him an example. His whole life, his very existence, was an example for 3 years and so many months for these apostles to learn from the living Word, to watch him. And he explained the Old Testament to them, didn't he? He did. He said, this is what this, and this is what, and I am come. And he explained all of this. He was an example. And he is the ultimate pattern for you to be conformed to. It's good that it said, and Paul said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. And it's good to look at mature Christians, but ultimately, the one that you're supposed to pattern after and be conformed to the image of is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that clear example that is there. The elders are supposed to be an example. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy 4:12, if you go there, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, what you speak, in conversation, how you live, in charity, how you love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. How long till I come? And so he goes and he says that to the elders, Christ was an example, your elders, what you call elders, the aged, those that are in authority in the local New Testament church, and there is pastors and there is evangelists, they are to be our example. And that is why, in our belief, the way that I believe the Bible teaches it, when they are not, they are disqualified. I do not believe that pastors that are not the example to their flock, that they should be pastoring. And because the Bible says you are to be an example. And it's not a negative one, right? It's a positive one. Did you know, young men? Where's the young men? Ah, there we got a young man, Daniel. And there, you're not even a young man. You're 20, what? How old are you now? Yeah, you're a young man still. Actually, biblically, young men, you were still called young men if you were under 30, believe it or not. That's when they finally described. With me, I was about 35 or 40. Where's Dana? She'll verify this. How old was I when I grew up? 52? Okay, I believe her. Okay. And so young men, did it? Look at Titus 2. 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus chapter 2, and then verses 6 and 7. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of a contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil to say of you. You are to be a young, and you are to be an example. Now there's all your young men, so don't think that you'd have no responsibilities. That's the less responsibilities if you're a child, when the Bible calls you a child, a periodon. It means somebody that's off the breast but not in puberty. That's what the word means. It's that thing. They're in la-la land still, huh? Any of you raised children? Yeah. Make-believe world. They still think that Spider-Man really can crawl up walls. You know, all of that stuff. And so after salvation, we are to be transformed into his image of Christ. And Christ is the image of God. And then we are saved for a purpose, to be an example, ensample, and even a pattern of good works. Did you know that a church as a whole needs to be an example? As a whole, as a corporate body, and there's one that had a terrific example. And that's in 1 Thessalonians. That's those T books. You got to go to the left a little bit. Get back to 1 Timothy and then keep on going and you'll find Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1:7. So that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. This church loved the Lord so much and was such a good witness that they not only were, remember the word example, it means pattern, by the way, or what should be done. They were known throughout that word. It would be like Castlegar Baptist Church would be totally known throughout British Columbia and parts of Alberta. Okay, that's the geographic area where we're talking about. It was a big chunk of land. They were an example unto that. Okay, we're not at the point yet. So, ready? Your conversation, when the Bible speaks of your conversation, it doesn't mean about what you speak. The term is your lifestyle, what you do, how you live, your walk through life, right? It's sort of like when it says, go ye therefore, the people think it's talking about the way that you should interpret that is as you are going. In other words, as you're going through life, be ye this witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just one time here, one time there, but as you are going. And so your conversation is all about as you're going through life as a Christian. That is what your conversation is all about. And it is funny, isn't it? Not funny, haha, but peculiar that in all of the different ages, there's all this drawback to mess up your conversation. With young men, right? Because their frontal lobes aren't developed yet. You do understand that, right? Their frontal lobes aren't fully developed yet. their conversation is one of craziness, man. Some of these guys are nuts. And you, if you ever see them, I saw a guy one time, you know what? He picked that motorcycle up, he picked it on its front wheels, and went right down the street. And man, he shifted gears and everything. He was flying. And if it wasn't for that curb, it would have looked real good. I tell of another young man that I watched, and he died. He came by our house in Spokane, Washington on one of those motorcycles. He hit first gear, I mean full tilt. Second gear, and he was already just shifting into third gear. How fast was he going? He was flying. And things would have went real well if that Suburban hadn't pulled out in front of him. And as he hit that and went flying, and as I was picking up and trying to clear his throat so he could breathe, shortly after, he was a young man. Didn't think of the consequences. And it happens every year, doesn't it? That we hear about young men. And then you got the middle age. They got their strength. Not middle age. You're not middle age. Let's not call it middle age. From about 20, you know, 22, 23 years old to about 45, what's your main hindrance to your conversation? It's your strength. You got strength and you got vitality. And it actually works against you in many ways. Rather than serving the Lord, sometimes people will serve the flesh during that time. And then you get a little bit older. And well, a little bit older. How are we going to do this one? 45. From 45 to 65. Okay? No, 45 to 70. How's about that? And then what's that? And then you're over there, you're winding down, and then your body starts to ache and all the rest of it. And then you get a little bit older, and then I hear that there's people that are 90 years old around. Man, 90 years old, 85, 90. And then there's a hindrance there. You know what the main problem with the older people is? They're insecure, a lot of them. So many of them are insecure that they worry about what's going to happen year after year, you know, and it just consumes them. All I'm trying to tell you is that there's, in your conversation, there's this hindrance. It's called sin nature. It's the flesh that hinders us. And whether you're young or whether you're old, don't think it's going to go away because you're still in this flesh. Now, we hope we get transformed into Christ-likeness and it has less power, but it still does. Now, I say that because your conversation is important in my one point. Because we have been saved to be an example, and a pattern. Fathers and mothers, you're the Adam and Eve of this generation. And you are to be an example to your children. As a matter of fact, you've been given the primary responsibility for that. It is not the church, even though the church has an input to straighten out children, it is their mother and their father. And you need to understand the power of your example, your conversation. I don't know if you're old enough yet to come to realize, to think back about how you did this with your children and how you influenced them to a positive or to a negative way. We had the younger children come in, right? Parents, you have great, great responsibility in this area. And don't think it goes away as you get a little bit older, because your children are watching you. But also understand that we as a people, that we have now spiritual children. Do you understand this before the Lord? Didn't he say that if you give up homes and houses and wives and daughters and sons and all this other stuff, that you will gain 100-fold wives and daughters and lands and all this other stuff? He's talking about in the assembly that there's these children that are there. And these younger ones are watching you. Daniel, when I take him out fishing, if I would go out and catch over my limit, he would notice it. Right? We went out fishing the other day. It was pretty sad, I have to tell you. But anyways. But the kids are now watching you. And these in the, These young people, they watch us. They want to see what's going on. And if you're older than them, you are to be an example. Your conversation is supposed to be that they look at you because they are now your spiritual children. Not just because you led them to the Lord, but because we're in the assembly, and these kids, whether they're 8 years old or 3 years old, they are watching you, and you need to take on that responsibility and take it very seriously. Because you are to be in the image of Jesus Christ, and they are supposed to see Christ in you. And that's very important. And I hope that you take it that way. The saints, as saints, we have children. I'm going to read you Proverbs 23. We're getting close to the end there. Boy, you're going to have for an early lunch. Proverbs 23, go there with me. Just open up the middle of your book. You should hit Psalms, and then you keep on going and you'll hit Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26. See, there's times that people at certain ages, their children grow up, and then they think that all their responsibility for living a conversation and a lifestyle, being an example, showing Christ-likeness to people, are gone, but it's not. It happened, I have to tell you, that if you've ever been raised, well, we got some preacher's kids here, right? My children, they were PKs. Did you know that in our church, I'm not going to give you names, but that my son was tempted to drink beer by church members? You think that was the example that they should have been given to him? No way. Not at 17 years old. No way. And all of these things, see, that was a very negative thing. And what I'm saying is that when we get a little bit older and our children are raised, then we think we're free of this and we can go do our thing, right? Oh, what? Who cares? Whatever. It isn't that way at all. You're still supposed to be, according to the Bible, these are your children, and they're supposed to see Christ in you. Not just the elders, but the saints themselves. People are watching you. You don't understand that. And I'm going to tell you parents something. Okay, when your child hit puberty, now this is a scientific fact. When your children hit puberty, they had two antennas start to grow out of the back of their head. I know you can't see them, but they're there. They come up, they're probably about this long, and what they are is a hypocrite finder. Because you've never seen, if you've raised teenagers, if you say but do not do, they'll let you know about it. Because it's hypocritical. And that is because you as a parent, and we need to go and not be hypocritical. We need to give our children the example. That's in conversation. That means what we speak, way we act, the things that we think are important. They are watching us. Now I'm going to tell you something, and you need to understand this, that it is so important that we give these young ones, and that means younger than me. See, I'm trying to give Nathan an example. I'm also trying to be an example unto Dave, because he is watching me and he says, I wonder what it's like to become old and not be able to hear, which he's going to experience. And he's going to say, but be a Christian and live for the Lord. I'm to give him that example. And then there are the senior saints, we'll call them. I'm part of that group now. But anyways, the senior saints, see, I actually watch them. And your children watch them and say, look at that, 90 years old and still serving the Lord. That's the example that they need to see. They don't need to see them, you know, hiding off anywhere or doing that. They need to see us living for the Lord. In Proverbs 23:26, listen to what it's on. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes, what? Observe my ways. That's quite a statement, isn't it? Give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. That's how important it is. A lot of parents and a lot of people want people to give them their heart, but they don't understand biblically that it's to observe my ways before you. In Ephesians, Ephesians 6:4, it says, "You fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." I know in context, and I'm not going to fault that, is talking about earthly fathers. But people, men and women that are here, saints, I really believe that we need to be an example to a lost and dying generation and to these children, and very specifically to our own. So you say, I've blown it. I can remember the time when I first got saved and I got mad at my son. And I said something to him that my father said to me when I was a young man. I hated it when my father said it to me. And yet, I repeated it. I blew it. At that point, what did I give him an example of? Adam, the old man. I didn't give him the right answer and correct the situation the way that God would have me to do it. What I have to do? I had to get right. That's why how you handle this. You don't go around and beat yourself up, even though there's remorse involved in it. When you have done wrong and you've been the wrong example to your own children and to your spiritual children and to a lost and dying community, what you do is the same thing that I've had to do. I had to acknowledge it for what it was. It was sin. I needed to confess it to God, and then I needed to make it right as I could. And I talked to my son about that. And I've had to talk to my children at different times when I had messed up. And I said I'd have to go to them and say, listen, I have done wrong here. I have not been the example that I'm supposed to be. But I got it right with God, then I get it right with people, and then you press on and follow the scripture. But you need to acknowledge it, you need to confess it, and then the word is repent. What does that mean? To change it, right? You got to change the behavior into a Christ-like behavior. And I have to tell you, a lot of people are too prideful to admit that they've blown it. And yet, it's what we need to do. And we talk to our children, or we talk to the church, or we talk to people. And if I would ever do something that was a wrong example, like not wear my life jacket or something like that when Daniel is there, and no doubt it might happen one of these days, I don't know, I'd have to do the same thing. I'd have to acknowledge to this young man that I was the example. I was a wrong example to him. And I needed to be the right example. And I needed to get right before God, because I'm influencing this young man. And I want it to be unto Christ's likeness. I want them to give me their heart, yes, but then follow my ways. So you need to get it right, and then you need to press on with the new man and show them Christ's likeness. That you've been transformed into the image of his dear son. And you go on with that. And this is my one point. Are you doing it? Which example are you showing to your children, to your spiritual children, and to a lost and dying generation? Are you showing them the God image? Are you showing them the image of Adam? Or the image of Christ, which now we have the example to follow? What image are you showing people? It's the one that I have to ask myself regularly. Now, what about you during this invitation time? As we stand together, please, if you would, take your hymnals.